Let's stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Precious Jesus, you're so sweet and precious to us, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that even tonight you've placed that call in our hearts to come and to gather. Lord, we're, every opportunity we have, oh, how we need to make use of it, Father. For your coming is so close. Lord, it won't be long and we'll be able to hear that trumpet, be able to gather with you, Lord. But Father, until that time, Lord, we walk this earth, Lord, in the wickedness and cruelty. Father, we need you. And that's what we've gathered, Lord, that you can speak to us and guide us in our walk, Lord. Grant to us revelation that we may understand and know how to please you. Bless us now, Lord, in the service and every phase. May you just get the glory and honor in everything. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me, if you will. I'd like to sing our pamphlets there. Page 8. You are my all in all. He truly is, saints. He's so precious. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all. I need you more today, Lord, than ever before. There are decisions I can't make on my own, and there are trials I can't face all alone. But you said you walk with me down life's troubled road, and you said, come unto me, I'll bear your heavy load. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need you more today. When I wake up in the morning and I fear to face the day, let me feel your gentle hand leading the way. Yesterday has come and gone with the trial far behind me, but I'm ever learning, Lord, and every day I find I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are
capstone books, if you turn with me. Page 3 in that one. 'Tis so sweet to trust Him. Oh, it is. Hallelujah.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith, oh hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in sin, oh, faith to plunge me, need the healing, cleansing. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, it is sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. Oh, I love to trust Him. Amen. He's always there for us, saints. Praise His name. Brother Hamilton, would you come up?
Praise His precious name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the blessing. Amen. He's everything to me. Let's sing. He's everything, He's everything to me. He's everything, He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Amen. Oh, He's everything, He's everything to me. He's everything, He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Amen. How many have something on your heart you'd like to make known? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Precious Jesus, Father, we're so thankful. Lord, as we sing these songs, Lord, just reminds us, and our mind goes back to, Lord, you're always there for us, no matter what the circumstances are. Lord, I've been through some scary times, some troublesome times, but Lord, it seems like any time I cry out, you're always there. And I'm so thankful, Lord. And Lord, the needs on the people's hearts, Father, they've reached out to you tonight. And Lord, we know through your word that you revealed to us that it's a finished work. It's done, Lord. So may we just claim it. Thank you for it, Lord. And glorify your name. Spread the word, Lord, of your goodness and your mercy and all that you've done for us. Lord, we pray that you would bless the remainder of the service. Father, that you have your way. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Lord, you know what we need in our walk here. Maybe what trials we're getting ready to go through. Maybe we've come through something, Lord, and we need strength. Lord, we just lean on you now. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Somebody got a song? Amen. I was trying to look through and put a song group together, but I'm not sure. You ain't got anything you can sing? All right. I guess we'll just stand up again, if you will, and we'll sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Amen. Only believe.
So precious. Amen. Since we didn't really have any specials, could we just sing that little chorus, For He is Lord. Amen. Yes. Sing it to Him with all your heart.
Oh, For He is Lord. Yes, He is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Sing it one more time. For he is Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is. May we never fail to lift him up. Yeah, amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, we just want to say thank you for this precious opportunity. And Lord, we come to gather around your word. And Lord, as I'll be renewing our minds to these things that you have spoken to us, Lord, we just humbly ask that through my feeble approach, Lord, of being able to bring it, that it would help someone, Lord, to further see the picture, Lord, that of what's on my heart, and just praying, Lord, that you would strengthen us and encourage us. Lord, continue to draw us and to make us better soldiers for you. And Lord, that we would be a people truly yielded to you, that you could use us, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, if it be your will to help someone along life's way, that, Lord, you might use our this temple to reach out and grab someone else, Father. And we just ask it all, Lord, to your glory and your honor. We ask your blessings upon your word and in our hearts to the receiving. And we'll make sure, Lord, that you receive all the praise. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. He is so precious. Amen. While you're standing, if you would, we'll turn over to Mark, the 7th chapter. Amen. And praying that Sunday's still burning on your heart a little bit, you know. It was thank the Lord for the moving of his Holy Spirit. And God's word comes in simplicity, but to that little elected heart, it's just something special there if you'll just reach out and grab a hold of it. Amen. Each and every time. And so last Thursday evening, we read a scripture in Matthew pertaining to this here. We're going to read this. And just to kind of help wrap up what I was saying last Thursday night, to draw our attention to just to keep pressing on and to be a people. Yes. But just to catch it here, is the way Mark wrote it in the 7th chapter. And we'll pick up here about the 4th verse. And when they came from the market, let's just go to this first verse just to make sure we catch it. Then they came together with the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. And then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things you do. May the Lord bless and redeem his word, and you may be seated. And how It's just it's a very common thing, but how very fitting Jesus definitely spelled out to them.
Yes.
The little thing, this over here was minor. The washing of hands is just a tradition that had no bearing. Mm-hmm. But his word had went forth of the commandments to be kept. Yes. And of that they were making light of and not really that concerned with. So their priorities had got shifted to what they thought was important, and they weren't paying much attention to the other pieces. And so as you think about it, and just to see the traditions that are come down, and Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul, in many places he told us to keep the traditions and to hold fast those things that we've been taught, mm-hmm. and to keep those ordinances. Even Jesus, he gives us the ordinances of water baptism and communion and foot washing. And the importance of holding to those things and doing it with a reality in our hearts and understanding.
Yes.
And as you think about this, the importance, I guess, as you could say, is there's lots of things that we do every day that we can just get into a routine, and it truly just becomes, I do this. Mm-hmm. With no understanding and no reason behind it. You know, if you'll think back, just to use it as an example, we used to have these little things that we read before every meal at times past. They were scriptures, you know, like you need to read this in the morning, you need to read this at noon, and read this in the evening. Yeah. And that's good. We should read the scriptures all the time, mm-hmm. and study and truly take it in, but to just, it becomes a ritual, you know, it becomes, I got to read this before I can do this. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that, if you look at the Catholics in the different denominations, it become tradition, you know, mm-hmm. and you can look at as we talk about denominations, mm-hmm. and you know, you look at the Amish people, we see them driving horse and buggies, and we see them living the way they do. And when that sect first started, everybody was probably driving horse and buggies at that time, and that was in their heart to not be modern and to not to be like the world. And so, in the genuineness depths of their heart, when that movement started, in someone's heart, it was a reality to what they were doing and why they did what they done. And as time went on, it just became, we do this because. And it just started, and it fell into place. And the prophet in the Church Age book, he used the Catholics as the same way, as when they begin to start their rule, they was, keep what the Apostle Peter said. We're going to do these things. And then over time, it was lost in their heart, the sincerity of it, and it become, we have to do this to be saved. This is it. This is what we do. And you see how that has happened through every denomination. And, you know, as I just got back from my uncle's funeral, and you know, the minister and the group that did the services, they're the old order Baptist faith, and they have a very different way of doing things. And in the depthness of their heart, when that movement started, it was a sincerity. It's what they'd done, and they were doing it, and they're still very sincere in what they're doing. But it's become we have to do it this way. You know, they pull out their little book, and they got to sing the songs from that little book. They got to say their little prayers from this book. And when they pray, it's not as if they're talking to someone they know, but it's repetitious, and they just repeat themselves, and they repeat themselves, and it's not a personal relationship. Yes, the Holy Spirit has worked in their lives and drawn them to a certain spot, but there they thought they went far enough, and there they stopped. And you know, we can be the same way. We can come to a point. We come so far, and we see what the Word says, and we understand what the prophet said, and we come so far, but we don't cut our hair as sisters. Maybe we wear long dresses, and we go through, we make sure we're in church, we make sure we pay in our offerings, and we make sure we pay our tithes, and I would, you know, won't miss a service, I'm going to be there. We can keep all of that. But just as the Jews back in the Old Testament, and we'll get to a scripture, but just or quote something the prophet said, but just as they were bringing that lamb, when Abel first realized and the revelation came to him that it was a lamb and it needed the blood to cover and atone for his sins, he slit that lamb's throat and he laid his hands upon it, and the reality was burning in his heart to such a fervent that he knew what he was doing.
Yes.
And you know, and then it began to be passed down. And through that, yes, there was many still very sincere as they brought their lamb. But the majority began, I have to offer my lamb. I have to eat this bread. I have to make sure it's like this. And they lost the sincerity and the reality to themselves.
Yes.
Of what they were doing and what they were partaking of. And how that is today when you stop to think, as we gather in here each time, that sincerity that's got to be burning in our hearts and as individuals. And that's kind of, you know, as we each have a portion, you know, it begins before we ever get here. How sincere are we to take the time and ask the Lord, Lord, I'm going to service tonight. And
yes.
Lord, what's my portion? Would you bless the service, bless the speaker? Maybe Brother Timothy thinks he's going to minister, but maybe, Lord, it's something the pastor should say. Lay it upon his heart to take the service. And are we praying that way, or do we just pray, oh, I just got to get up and go. We're going to church. Lord, bless the service. Maybe give me something. And there's really not that depthness of sincerity in us.
Right.
As we come to that place, that's where it begins.
Mm-hmm.
But then as we come in here and as we begin to sing, and as we're singing these songs, is it become a just, I know the words, and this is how it goes, and we're going to sing this. And so this is an individual. Each one of us have to ask ourselves that. And as Brother Kevin, he's our song leader, you know, as he comes and he's praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what can I sing? What song should I bring? You know, so that's an important piece on him. And he's in prayer thinking, Lord, what would blend with the service? What would you have? And that's, he's got to make sure as a song leader, he stays in that portion.
Yeah.
And that keeps the sincerity in that the Holy Spirit, it all is for the Holy Spirit to have his way, to have the freedom to move. And then us as a ministry, as we come, it's on our hearts, Lord, I just don't want to come and fill time and space. I just don't want to come here and bring something, Lord, that just make people think I'm smart or I can preach or I see something. But I want to bring something that's edifying to the body of Christ that we can feed on, that'll draw us closer and maybe cause us to pay a little more attention or to uplift us, whatever God has fit for us. But we don't want to just come of our own free will and say, this is what I'm bringing tonight. This is the way it's going to be. But we wait on the Lord to speak. Lord, what is it? There's so much we could preach on. There's so many scriptures. But Lord, if you don't put the reality behind it, it'll just be words. And we just take it.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, our sincerity, you know, it shows when we come into service and we just have no true interest sometimes. You know, we come in and we don't find the word exciting. We don't find worshiping the Lord that exciting. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, our day's been long and it tears us down. We just don't, and we leave getting nothing from the service. And you know, many times those Jews came to offer their sacrifice. They fulfilled what the law told them they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they went away with their sins covered because that was the law.
That's right.
But in their heart, they went away the same person they came up with, no more depth of sincerity, no more reality to what they were doing. It was just good for another year.
Mm-hmm.
And so our pastor has brought many messages on communion to show how that sincerity was lost at the Lord's table. And how that it kind of flows in hand. But let's turn over to Mark, the 10th chapter. And read this. Very familiar, but just thinking about it in a little different light this evening. In Mark 10, and this is the rich young ruler. And about the 17th verse. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these I've observed from my youth. So that's a pretty good track record. He was able to truly say, I got that covered. I've done every bit of that. But then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. And each time as we come in, sometimes we got all of our bases covered. I've did all of this. But as we come in, the Holy Spirit knows what we have need of to grow. And so he's trying to deliver to us that message. But this young man was sincere. He sincerely come asking. He knew there was more than what he had. But yet it wasn't in his heart to move forward. And Jesus said, loved him, said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you think about seeing He was keeping everything he knew to do.
Yes, he did.
But when he come to that one more thing, that next step, I'm calling you for a higher work. I'm calling you to a higher place in me.
Yes.
It was too great of a price. It was too much of a sacrifice
yes.
to have to give up those things. And so it can be for us. It's easy to go through life when I just live my life and go to church and reap the benefits of being at church. And, I'm a pretty good fella, so to speak. But what about the Holy Spirit trying to draw us to a higher plane?
Yes,
trying to pull us to that place? Am I truly interested? And is it a sincerity in my heart that, Lord, I just didn't come here to fill space and time and to take up a seat.
Yes.
But, Lord, I've came for a purpose tonight. You're speaking to me as an individual. And this is a very familiar quote, but it's in the Message Communion. But I want you to think about it as he was talking about the Lord's Supper. But let's just listen to how he put it. This paragraph 29. He says, now just a moment longer. In the Old Testament, when the sacrifice was made, a statue or an ordinance, and so is water baptism an ordinance, and feet washing an ordinance, and the Lord's Supper an ordinance. And blessed is he that does all of his ordinances and keeps all of his statutes and all of his commandments. And I want you to think about that a little greater. All of his commandments.
Yes.
That he might have the right to enter into the tree of life. Now notice in this now that in first, when it was a first an ordinance of God to bring a sacrifice to the church, to the temple and the altar, and offer your gift for your sins, your sacrifice of a lamb, I can imagine seeing some Jewish brother coming down the road knowing that he was guilty, and he goes to the altar or brings his fat ox or a bullock or whatever he had, a ram, lamb or something. And he brought it down the road just as sincere as he could come. And he walked up there keeping God's ordinance just as sincerely as he could. And then he laid his hands upon it, confessing his sins. And the priest placing this, his sins, upon the lamb, the lamb's throat was cut and then died for him. And as he laid there, the little lamb kicking and bleeding, his hands filling, being full of blood and it flying all over him, the little lamb blatting and dying, he would realize that he had sinned and something had to die in his place. And therefore he was offering this lamb's death for his death. And see, the lamb died in his place. And the man done it with sincerity and with deepness of his heart. And finally, over and over it went again. And over it kept going. And finally it became a tradition. The commandment of God become a tradition to the people. And then here he come down. Well, let's see. This is so-and-so today. Maybe I better go down. Yeah, I better offer a bullock. He went down. Well, Lord, here's my bullock. See, there was no sincerity in it. There's no understanding to it. And we don't want to take communion like that. And the same thing has become to the Lord's table. Now, he was talking about communion, but showing us that we can let God's word, it's a commandment, it's an ordinance to us. But we let it just glaze over us, and then it's not as important. And Jesus said he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to magnify the law.
Yes,
to bring a greater importance, a greater understanding that you couldn't live it in yourself. You couldn't maintain it. But him, through his mercy and grace, would make a sacrifice and an atonement. That through that and by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he would come in himself inside of you. And pay the price. And realizing we were guilty. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. We needed that to bring us to where we are. And now by God's grace, he's revealed to me that I didn't become seed by a new birth. I was seed. And in his mind before there was a moon or star, therefore I could be reborn. And the understanding that as he enlightens the grace to our hearts to realize that amazing grace, it's by grace ye are saved. It is by grace you understand the things that you hear. And it's grace that causes that desire in you to burn, to be there and to hear that word, how it never becomes stale to the genuine believer. And a true believer, it won't become a tradition, and it will not become, once you've truly experienced and tasted of that, it'll never become a tradition to you. It'll never just be, I'm just going to church. I'm just going. But there is a love affair taking place. This is his provided channel. This is his will. And you know that you're following his word and obeying. And it changes your attitude and your outlook on why you come to service. And you have to see it all. God gives the ministry to bring the word to your attention that you may grow. And sometimes that word is sharp. It's a two-edged sword. And it will cut coming and going. It will cut asunder. It will sometimes wield it in the hand of the Spirit. It's sharp and it hurts. And Lord, you see yourself. But oh, as you begin to polish up and see the work that the Lord is doing in your life, how much more it'll bring it to you. You know, and it happens with all scriptures. You take even the scripture, we quote it many times, about a woman wearing garments that pertain to a man. And that's my church preaches that. We can take that attitude. Or we can stop for just a moment underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and realize that was written in the pages of this word. And God sent a prophet in this age to magnify that by the Holy Spirit and to say, even. So then as a sister, if I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit and following God's word, every time I go to get dressed or I buy something, I'm holding that up in my mind. And I don't have to try to make myself, but it's always in my conscience because he wrote it on my heart, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. So we'll just use that as one word. It comes back to our minds as we're buying our clothes, buying our dressing, whatever we're doing, and we are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we're letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Yeah. And with a sincerity, Lord, I don't want to be wrong, because that's all of your commandments, Lord. Yes. And it follows right down to a husband loving his wife, father raising his children, discipline the children in the home, whatever. Every word, all the commandments that I've given you. And that's where the importance is, as you look back in John, the 14th chapter. A couple places here, Jesus spoke, and this is that sincerity. This is the piece we can't lose and we can't allow to become a tradition. I just do this because this is my church. This is what we've been taught. But why, Lord? It's just as that gentleman, the Jewish brother, he knew he had to sacrifice that lamb, but he forgot why he was doing it. He let the importance leave. Lord, you commanded me. You give me this to do, and it's for me, my benefit, Lord, and I'm the one that should be here dying. They forgot where they came from and what they needed. Yes. But here in John, the 14th chapter, Jesus speaking to the 21st verse of 14th chapter, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Yes. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then over in the 10th verse of the 15th chapter, the 9th verse of the 15th chapter, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So just look at that. As Paul over in Hebrews, he said he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He was obedient to God's word all the way to the death of the cross. And how he never let his journey become a tradition. He was there for a purpose. And he was always mindful of what his work was, what his journey was for, and what he was there to perform. And that's, we must always be mindful that we're just not here to live as American citizens. The Holy Spirit didn't call me just to be a churchgoer, just to be somebody. We can be that. But he called a people. He's called a people out for a bride that he would live through and reproduce himself to a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. These scriptures being made alive and living, and not just words on a page, just not a form and a ritual. And we see it as it goes on and goes on, and you can see it more and from Pentecostal churches. And that's what I'm saying. You start to see it get into the message churches. We're having a tent meeting this weekend. Everybody come. And as you watch the people under the anointing, some genuinely may be feeling the anointing and moving. But as you watch the masses, you see a traditional style starting to take place. It's the same movement every time. And how you see the Holy Spirit moves, he's sovereign. He's not going to deal with, he may deal with Brother Steve way more than he's different. He's going to deal with me. He may deal with Brother Kevin in a different manner. But the result will all be the same. The love and the keeping the commandments and honoring God's word and the respect. Amen. One might speak in tongues. One might hit the ground crying and just sobbing. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, you never know what it's going to be. It might be jumping. It might be prayer. It might be just a standing in the quietness and not saying a word. And just let the Holy Spirit break in you down and mold you and speak to your heart as only he can. But God is sovereign. But we see so much because people don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they come to the place they're watching everybody else, and I'm going to move just like they move. I'm going to try to mimic. I'm going to try to do. You've got to find that place for yourself as a person. That it's a reality to you. And that's the place to realize that it was for my sins he died. It was me that should have been hanging on that cross. Lord, I thank you. And once you come to that realization that I needed a Savior, I needed a Redeemer, and it's only your grace, Lord, that I stand here today, it will keep you in the center of this word. It'll keep you in that place and make you ever mindful of your every action, your every move. Is this pleasing, Lord? Not to my church, not to my friends, not to my parents. Is this pleasing to you, Lord, in your precious word?
Yes.
And oh my, that comes at a cost. We each one, and that's what God doesn't have grandchildren. It's an individual affair to sons and daughters of God that he reveals himself and makes it real. Mm-hmm. In the message, the token, this was preached November 28, 63. Let me see. Amen. Well, about paragraph 111, just to catch what he's saying through this piece. He says, could you imagine a Jew in the Old Testament coming, and he's kind of repeated just a little bit here, to make an offering? He was obeying Jehovah, what he said to do. And that went on, and he accepted the sacrifice. He seen the lamb die. His hands was bloody, the dying lamb, and he went back home justified because he come in sincerity, and that was fine. But after a while, it become a tradition, and man said, you know, this is the Passover time. We better go do this, and I've got to offer a lamb. It become a place you could buy a lamb and get somebody else to offer it for him. It become a creed. It become a dogma in the church, but it was still God's word. God told them to offer the lamb, but it's okay to let somebody else offer it for you. No, you've got to come and place your hands on that sacrifice. That's your sacrifice. It wasn't somebody else's.
That's right.
And oh, we must make sure that we don't allow someone to take the importance of God's word away.
That's right.
And you know, it's so easy. There's so many things, and I'm not going to point it to one thing. God's word is laying here, and we know the word is there. And it's us as an individual, we've got to make sure that we match that.
Yes.
It's got to be pointed out, and you've got to know that yourself.
Yes.
He says here, he says, it become a creed, it become a dogma, and God said the very sacrifice that he required become a stink in his nose because it was offered without sincerity. And the Pentecostal people are getting into that same stage, that's right. We've come till the sincerity is gone among us. We come in and try to take the people into the church like the other church does to get big crowds and so forth in our churches. We should never do that. We've got to come to sincerity there and die as dead as we can be that the blood of Jesus Christ and the token can come upon us. It makes a person a different person. A woman can get up from there and go away, and she wants to obey every scripture that is in the Bible regardless of what takes place. And a man the same way. No denomination, no creed, or nothing else can ever separate him from the love of God that he found there at that altar if he'll continue to follow in the way of the Lord. But today we don't have the sincerity to it. We just take it just as a tradition as our fathers did this, he said.
Yes.
And now you see that creeping in. And in the sincerity, when people begin to follow this message and to come out, everything was more sincere. And over time, it slowly... Well, this is going to be okay. And so-and-so started doing this, so we'll start doing that. And it just slides. And it slid. The younger generation coming up didn't understand, so they start to dress one way, and pretty soon the older sisters begin to follow. And there was no leadership to clamp that thing down and to point out the negative effect of what was happening. And we see that taking place. And we can allow that to take place to us ourselves. If we don't take this word to ourselves personally, well, I'm just doing this because everybody else. No, it can't ever be that way. That will not save you. That will not make you a bride of Jesus Christ. It's got to be a life lived that you can't live yourself, that is lived through a love affair that brings this body under subjection to every word of Jesus Christ. And through a love affair, you do what you do by a desire. When the Gentiles do by nature the things that are contained in the law, as Paul said in Acts, I believe it was in the book of Acts. Amen. He says, "Our Father." He said, just like Thanksgiving Day, and I want you to think about this because he's going to tie this into the natural of how quick and easy it is for just normal stuff.
Yes.
He said, just like Thanksgiving Day, many people today never thought ten thousands and millions of America eat dinner today in a Thanksgiving celebration with a turkey on the table
and never as much offered a blessing. And you know, it may sound simple, but we are very fortunate to have what we have.
Yeah.
And it can become very routine because we are blessed with an abundance of everything, food, cars, houses, whatever we have need of. In this country, it's right now, it's still very abundant around us. Mm-hmm. And how we can get to the place that we're not thankful and we don't, it's just another day, it's just another food on the table, it's just another quick prayer, but thank you, Lord, for providing for me what I do have today. And we can allow it just our daily living at home just become a tradition. I said a prayer because I know I'm supposed to pray before I eat. Without having, you know, as Brother Brandon mentioned, Stonewall Jackson, he said, I don't even take a drink of water unless I say, thank you, Lord, for this water. And how that, it was a reality to him that even that little sip of water, he was thankful to get it. And in his journey as a soldier and being in battle, I'm sure there was many a times he really, really wished he could get a sip of water. And marching as they did back during the Civil War. And how you can see that, it just continues down through. And now, Thanksgiving to the world is gone. Halloween, the devil's holiday, just passed. And already the lights of Santa Claus are shining. Not the lights of the birth of Christ, but the lights for a Santa Claus. Give me, give me, give me tradition that takes over this world. And that's all they can see. What am I going to get this year? What am I going to have? And they've already got way more than they need, and half the stuff that's bought and given out winds up in a garbage can not too long after because of gluttony and just desiring all the vain things of this world and the want and the more of it.
Yes.
But they wouldn't, he says, and never as much offered a blessing and return thanks, but they wouldn't have without having this on the same table where they had a turkey, a quart of whiskey, and a lot of beer sitting around the table. It becomes a tradition. And you say, ridiculous? That's not even Americanism. I'll turn it right back into your lap. To come to the altar with a dry-eyed confession is a tradition. You should die there to your sacrifice as you identify yourself that you are dead. Amen? Buried in Christ, the world is dead behind you, and you are to walk in new life with Christ Jesus in his resurrection. Loving his word, taking his word, watching him identify himself in his word as giving you the identification that you've passed from death into life.
Yeah.
What a time we're living in, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And as it's often said, that's why many don't realize the ball games, the sports of the world. They don't see that as loving the things of the world. They don't see that how Satan has just crept in and pushed all of this over onto us, every bit of it. And it goes down to, you know, hunting, fishing, it all falls right in the same category if it takes you from the word. You know, if I'm going to stay home to fish on a Sunday just because that's what my love is for, I'm wrong. And that's just as wrong as going to any ball game. And how the reality only comes from God's precious word for all of these things. And it might be, it could be simpler than that. There's people that just love to quilt. He said, well, there ain't nothing wrong with making a quilt. No, there isn't. But let that take it away from your reading and your praying and your studying time, and then it's wrong to you. And how we should truly see all this that's around us, and all of it here is Satan is just piling it and putting it on, trying to take us and make us a formal denominational Christian.
Yes.
Just to get us to be content that I'm doing what my church said do, I'm living by what I know the prophet said to do, I'm doing this. But what's he trying to take us to? Where's that next step? Where's that higher rung, that continually growing in Christ and looking for the soon appearing of his coming? And expecting and readiness to leave this world and not to be stuck here in this old pest house.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. But it's a change. It's something that's really happening and burning in our hearts.
Yes.
Here in the message, the token, this was preached March 8th. I think this is, this was March 8th, 64, paragraph 129. He says, look, then when we realize and present the token, the life it took for the token, the blood speaks for us. Remember, the covenant blood was recognized with the token, and the word assures us of the promise. And the token is a sign that the purchase is made for us. And now if you're not included in that, well, of course, you'll never get nothing. You're just walk through a prayer line, walk back out, walk up to the altar, looking up and walking back out. But, oh, brother, when that token is once placed in your heart, and you know it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ in you, something is happening.
Yes.
There isn't nothing going to turn you. You know where you belong. And full obedience to the whole word of God entitles you to the token and nothing else. Blessed is he that does all of his commandments, that he might have the right to the tree of life. And how that, if I could say anything, that is what's burning in my heart is, it's don't just come to church. Don't let it just be, I'm following the message. I'm doing everything I believe I should do. But that personal, true experience of you and Jesus Christ, that you don't have to ask nobody, and it'll be evident. You can't be the same person you ever was. The change will be evident. People will see the growth. They will see the attitudes. They will see the change in your life. And that's only can come by the word made manifest and a new birth and a reality that it's him in you and you can't do it yourself. Oh my, works, yes, this word and this life will produce works. There will be evidence. Oh my, but it won't be man-made. It'll truly show forth in the storms of life and all of the situations. It'll manifest itself and hold you steadfast and sure. Amen. And oh my, God will receive the glory and the honor from your life. Oh my, there won't be no man get it. There won't be no church get it. But it'll be Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And Second Thessalonians 2 and 15. You, Sister Hamilton, come to the instruments if you would. Amen. Amen. Second Thessalonians 2 and 15. Just to catch what Paul was saying here. And the 13th verse of Second Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by our word or our epistle. And now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Yeah.
Amen. It's going to be his mercy and grace. But may we truly think about the things that God, the commandments of God. You know, it's easy to keep an ordinance of a church or a church order, we'll say. You know, we know we come in and we be quiet. We do this and we handle it like this. We learn that. That is taught and that's the way we conduct ourselves when we come to church. But the coming to the realization that it's every word of God made manifest in my life. It's got to be to me personally. That can't be taught. Only the Holy Ghost can make that real and bring that into our hearts. That we would not allow ourselves to become a denominational Christian or just another person following a message. But we're looking for a place where Jesus Christ is truly taking us over and truly manifesting himself. And every word is extremely important and so real that I realize that's me. That's to me. That's my portion. Every word, he's talking to me. And I want to live every day the way he wants me to live.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And that desire is what consumes me. That's what keeps me from the things of the world. That's what keeps me from going here and partaking of that or getting involved in this. Is because I want to live the way he wants me to live.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand if you would. Let's sing out a little chorus as our pastor comes. I pray God's word is a strength.
Yes.
And I pray that it flows in with what I was saying last Thursday night to bring a bigger picture to.
Amen.
Let's keep it real and make sure that we never let this word just become words on a page to us. Or a memory, something we memorized and we have it stored and we know what it said. But bring the reality to it, Lord, and make it real. Amen. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till the
wants me to live, I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Amen. You never outlove the Lord. Done so much. The Word of God is so sweet, isn't it? So precious. And as I've said so many times, it's just God's grace when you can find yourself being a part of that, identified with it. Where the Word of God, you can see it live in your life and see it bring you under submission. If there's a place we're short, you just feel that gentle submission. Lord, here I am. You know, just like a little lamb, just here am I. Amen. No wonder he typed his little lambs, you know. Oh, my. May we just be so submissive to him. Amen. Not to man, but to the Word. To the love of your life. And the love of your life is who? Jesus Christ. Amen. We're thankful for that. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again so very much. Even for this service tonight. It's so precious to us, Lord. And we wouldn't have traded it for anything, Lord. This is our life. This is our desire. This is what pulls on the inside. And Father, each time we come, we're looking forward and praying and opening up our heart to the next step that we can climb higher in thee, oh God, to where you could have a greater preeminence in our lives and we could come under a complete surrender to you. Lord, that's what's burning in our hearts. And we're so thankful, as you said Sunday, for that desire. Lord, that's the desire that'll take us all the way through. And that comes from you, Lord. It's a nature you place inside of an individual and a person, whoever it is, that you give it to. That, Lord, it'll drive them and pull them, Lord, and pull them to that place you want them to be in. And we're so appreciative of that. So we're so thankful even tonight as the word came. It was just something, Lord, our soul was feeding off of it. And Father, we was searching our heart and our life and just making sure everything is coming together the way you said it had to be. And Father, if we found ourselves short, again, Lord, we pray that you'll help us and forgive us of our shortcomings. Help us to press on, Lord. So we ask now that you would just go with us again, keep us safe as we make our journeys and our travels, wherever we must go. And Father, just asking a special blessing to those who couldn't be here tonight. Lord, many sick and afflicted, and maybe different things come up. But Lord, may you reach down and touch them. And Father, may they also be able to receive of what they heard tonight. And Father, again, we give you the glory for everything. And Father, we commit ourselves to you as we leave this little place. In the lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise God. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Always express your love to him wherever you're at, all through the day, whatever you're doing. Just stop and say, I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You're so precious to me. God bless you. You're dismissed.